Hi, and welcome to Broken Broadway. This is my podcast where we talk about Broadway flops, my favorite thing. Aaron, say hi. Winger, right? How do I say your last name?
Weininger,
yeah. I'm bad
with Weininger.
I'm bad with names, as you'll find out when I read a bunch of names in here. But today we're talking about a musical that I'm a little obsessed with. It is so bad. I watched it today for the first time, like all the way through. And it is hard to get through. It's that bad a musical. Today we're talking about the musical Legs Diamond.
When I get my name in lights, it can happen overnight in these modern times. Here in the jazz age, the world is at a crazy stage.
I am unfamiliar with Legs Diamond.
You've never heard of Legs Diamond. All right. Well,
never heard of Legs Diamond.
Let me get to the basics real quick, and then let's get into it, shall we? Legs Diamond opened at the Mark Hellinger Theater on December 26, 1988, and then closed February 19th, 1989. It ran for 72 previews and 64 performances. The music and lyrics are by Peter Allen, who also starred in the show. And the book is by Harvey Fierstein and Charles Sapon. There it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For the listeners at home, I recently did Aaron's podcast that I absolutely love called Yes and I Am. And I got to play Harvey Fierstein. And tell us about the podcast real quick.
Yeah, of course. So each week I have a different improviser comedian come on, and unbeknownst to them, I'm gonna have them play a celebrity, but they don't know who they're gonna play until right before I hit record. I tell them who they're gonna play, and I interview them as a celebrity, whether they know them or not.
Yeah, and luckily for you, I know Harvey Fierstein very well, because I was a few weeks ago, the Passover episode, right?
because Harvey Fierstein, big in the Jewish community.
This is based on a movie called The Rise and Fall of Legs Diamond, but more importantly, this is based on a real person. Legs Diamond was a gangster who, he was also known as Gentleman Jack, but he was known as Legs Diamond because he had three assassination attempts on him. That he was shot, I think, a total of 9 times before he was finally killed, but he had the first assassination attempt was he got shot 5 times. In a hotel room, stood up, took 2 shots of whiskey, walked in the hallway, got help, and then survived it. The second one, he was shot 3 times at a diner in Albany, laid in the doorway and said, it's fine, someone just get me to the hospital. They drove to the hospital, he survives that, and he was finally killed with a bullet. Literally, they held him down and they shot him in the back of the head years later. So he was a prohibition gangster. He was a real gangster, a prohibition gangster who was very big and flamboyant. Because after the first time they tried to kill him, he became kind of this urban legend of like, oh, I can't die. And then it happened again a second time, and it became this bigger thing, and he became a huge celebrity. He was at one time considered the biggest celebrity in upstate New York, which is a title only the 1920s can produce.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of, like, bigger celebrities in upstate New York. Upstate New York doesn't produce a lot of celebrities.
Yeah, which is also nuts because, yeah, he was mostly a lot of – because he was a bootlegger. He was a bootlegger gangster. And he used to hang out in a lot of, like, nightclubs. He used to – he had a lot of mistresses, famously. He had the mistress Kiki – let me find the last name real quick because I want to get this. It's –
Kiki, do you love me?
No.
Kiki, do you love me?
I don't think it's a Kiki Robert. Kiki Roberts, that's what it is. So he had a famous mistress, Kiki Roberts, who was a nightclub performer, and he was frequent in nightclubs. And they made a movie about him called The Rise and Fall of Legs Diamond, came out through Warner Brothers, and then they made a Broadway musical. Do you know who Peter Allen is?
I'm not familiar.
Peter Allen is a very, very famous singer-songwriter. He's most famous for marrying Liza Minnelli.
Oh, wait, no, I do know who he is. He's that creepy-looking dude.
No, he's the gay guy.
Oh, the gay guy. Yeah, well, no, the creepy-looking gay guy. Yeah, I remember this guy.
No, that's a different guy. That was her second husband. The sketch the sketch on SNL is her second husband. Her first husband was Peter Allen, who is a flamboyant Australian man. There's a very famous musical based on his life called The Boy from Oz, starring Hugh Jackman, that we're going to talk about more.
Yes.
Yeah. The plot
I'm familiar with The Boy from Oz.
So Legs Diamond, the guy I just told you all about, he's a real-time gangster. He was just a bootlegger who hung out in nightclubs. The musical is completely different. The full title of the musical is The Almost Totally Fictitious Musical History of Legs Diamond. On the billboard, it just said Legs Diamond, but at the opening number, when the curtain rises, it's a bunch of jail bars, right? But then in a bunch of big lights comes down The Almost Totally Fictitious Musical of and then a giant Legs Diamond made it like with thousands of light bulbs comes on. And then he comes out and does a big number in front of jail cells. It is so bad. I feel like, so a lot of the reason why this show failed, is Peter Allen.
It wasn't good.
No. It's not just that it wasn't good. It was Peter Allen who wrote the music and lyrics and starred in this. He put a lot of his own money into the show. He was so excited for this show to be a hit that he did, he recorded a live album at Carnegie Hall and premiered a bunch of songs he had written as a way to do like a very public backers audition for this musical. Is for his live album, he sang a bunch of songs from the musical he wants to do. So that's how he got a lot of the backers for this. And he is not a great actor, one. Two, you're going to hear it when I play you the song, but he is very flamboyant. He's very flamboyant, and this character is supposed to be like a suave gangster. This musical is so bad, it's almost like watching Springtime for Hitler. So we're right now, I'm gonna show you guys. So you guys up top, you heard When I See My Name in Lights. What you guys are gonna hear right now is another song from Legs Diamond. This one is song towards at the finale, because this is the other thing about the music in Legs Diamond. Peter Allen he's a very good songwriter for what he does. He can write two types of songs. He can write a big flashy showbiz song, or he can write a torch song. He can't write anything in between. So every song in this show is either a big company number or a torch song, and it is maddening.
Oh.
It is maddening. So this right here is technically the finale of the show. That is also in Boy From Oz, which both these songs were in Boy From Oz, and I'm going to play those from Boy From Oz in a little bit. But here you go. This is All I've Ever Wanted Was the Dream, the finale to Legs Diamond.
All I wanted was time to forget about my past. I didn't know time could come and go so terribly fast. It's hard to lose it when you had it right here in your grasp. But then you'll wake up and it's here, that dream that you're dreaming.
All right, so now that you've heard the music, so you have so many thoughts, because you were one. So you were when you listened to the opening number, you were dancing around. I want to know all your thoughts about. So let's talk about the opening number, which is When I See My Name in Lights.
And so I'll sing and I'll dance. I'll take any chance. just to get my name in lights. So if I some oversight you don't know by now, I'll be known for my charm and sparkling wit, and even Clarabelle will admit I got it. When I get my name, when I get my name, when I get my name, it'll light.
Well, I do have to say, like, straight up, Phil and Very Sing in the Rain Broadway melody.
Exactly. It does feel like a musical of the 40s.
Yeah, no, and the fact that you tell me this came out in 89?
89, just 88, wow. 89. It's insane. Well, this was a big reason why he got backers for this, too, were because this was his pitch was, this isn't going to be one of those big British imports. This is going to be a good old-fashioned American musical written by a gay Australian man. So, it's My big issue with all the music.
It feels like someone,
there's a song in this that I'm not going to play to you just because it's not great. It's called Knockers. So, and it's him. It's him, and it's his womanizing song. And it's him singing a bunch of showgirls. And he goes, when you're happy, let me see your knockers. When you're sad, put them away. And that's the whole song. And that's the chorus. And the whole song. It is a six-minute song.
I love
song.
That so much.
It's a six-minute song clearly written by a gay man going, I love boobs. Don't you love boobs? Let's see some boobs. It's so fucking bad. The whole show.
But yet again, it sounds like another like show. That sounds like Guys and Dolls Take Back Your Mink.
Exactly, exactly. But it's just not as well written. It's like Frank Lesser. Yeah, it's honestly, it's if like Frank Lesser wasn't clever and just was like, all right, how do I write a song about a guy who wants to fuck a woman? Let me see your tits. Let me see your tits. Hey, if you don't want to show me your tits, put your tits away. All right. It's such a weird, it's a weird show in general. I feel like every number feels like a Mel Brooks number. Like, sound like, okay, what were you going to say? Sorry, go ahead.
No, go say what you're saying, because this is another discussion for later on.
Okay. So let me say this, and I want to hear what you have to say. It's, every number in the show feels like, have you ever seen History of the World Part 1?
Oh, of course.
The Inquisition, what a thrill, the Inquisition. Wish we go away. You know, I feel like this is what
The Inquisition's here and we're here to stay.
Hey, Takamata, what do you say? I just got back from the Art of the Fae. Art of the Fae? What's the Art of the Fae? What you ought to do anyway. Yeah, sorry. I love that movie.
Like when
so
you
much.
Started this, you were like, you use Springtime for Hitler as exactly. like an example.
Yeah, and it does. Did. This feels like Mel Brooks is making fun, like a Mel Brooks parody, but this was so sincere. The original, so before Harvey Firestein came on to rewrite the book, Charles Suppon, who is a costume designer, who's the only Broadway book writer who also wrote the Coetzee Award, which is a clothing award for costuming.
Okay.
He wrote the book, and him and Peter Allen imagined this to be a very dark musical, very closely associated to the movie. But this was, they didn't change the music. The music was the same. But they wanted it to be a dark musical. Yes.
A dark musical that had the song Let Me See Your Knockers?
I think that was added with Harvey Firestein. I think that was the song that was added later. But the opening number, the opening number was at the workshop.
Okay.
Because he recorded
the opening number, like it does feel like it has mass appeal, you know? Like
it does. It's,
if you listen to like Bullets Over Broadway, like
another flop that will be on the show. Another flop that we're gonna be talking about on the show. Go ahead, Bullets Over Broadway.
But like I'm just saying, like it sounds like a number like oh, that could have been in Bullets Over Broadway. If you told me that, I'd believe you.
Yeah, you know what, I completely agree 100%. It definitely sounds like it was what it was going for. A lot of critics accused Peter Allen's lyrics to be too wordy. And a lot of the time he would forget how to rhyme and they would just kind of go at the medley without rhyming. And it's so prevalent in the song I played for you next, which is All I Ever Wanted Was the Dream, which is the the finale before, there's a big medley finale where they sing a bunch of different songs, but this is the big, big final number. You heard a little bit of that. I didn't play too much of it because it's an awful song. But what do you think of that?
No, and it feels like a ripoff of New York, New York.
It does. Like, yeah.
It, like, I was like, oh, this guy's trying to do his best Sinatra impression. He's like, you know what's the most American thing? Frank Sinatra and the Crooners.
Yeah.
We got to have good crooner numbers in here.
Well, when you think gangster, at least when I think gangster, I do think a lot of the time I think Frank Sinatra and that, you know, James Cagney kind of era of gangster. It's
yeah, and I guess if you're thinking of the movie Guys and Dolls,
which this like, okay, so that I'm glad you brought that up. So this the sets and costume to this show are a direct ripoff of Guys and Dolls, all of it. Honestly, the set. So I watched the show this morning. The sets are terrible. The sets look like a high school production of Guys and Dolls happened 3 years earlier in the theater, and they decided to reuse the sets. They are terrible. They're just a bunch of like painted walls that just like look like the skyline with a bunch of lights stringed on top. That's all they are. They're awful. And the costumes, every costume is this big colorful zoot suit, you know, like Guys and Dolls. Oh, every character looks like nicely. It's insane.
And the people said, sit down, you're rocking the boat.
Yeah, exactly. So this, I feel like the biggest issue with this show is Peter Allen. Can I read you my favorite line from a review I read?
Oh, for sure.
So this is Frank Rich from the New York Times, very famous theater critic. He said the most compelling drama of the night was Peter Allen trying to figure out what to do with his hands. What a scathing bitch. I
love that so much.
I loved it. When I read that, like, I was just like, oh, beautiful.
Like, is Peter, what was like Peter Allen's like biggest musical? Like, what is he most known for?
He's not known for musicals. He was in two musicals on Broadway. This, which was a flop, and then years earlier, he was in a musical called Soon with Barry Boswick and Richard Gere. That got really good reviews, but there was this whole conspiracy that, you know what, I'm actually going to cover it on a later show, so listen to that. But that soon only ran for three performances.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a big
flop. With that cast,
and the music.
That was also like Barry Boswick when Barry Boswick
No,
was
this
like
was
big.
Barry Boswick. No. This happened in the 70s. This was before Barry Boswick or Richard Gere were famous.
Okay. Well, Richard Gere must have been like a child.
No, he was in his early 20s.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
But still
those are his two musical experiences. What he's famous for is he wrote a lot of songs for Liza Minnelli, and he wrote a lot of songs for Judy Garland. I think his most famous thing, though, and what people really remember him for outside of his music, outside of Australia. In Australia, he's huge. In the U.S., I think he's known most for marrying Liza Minnelli and then coming out as gay and divorcing Liza Minnelli.
Well, also, Liza Minnelli only married gay men.
Famously, yes. but I will... I think what I know Peter Allen from, and maybe a lot of people my age who are into theater know Peter Allen from, is the musical Boy from Oz, which I absolutely love. It's a musical from 2003 starring Hugh Jackman from Australia, and it just uses all his music and tells his life story. They use a few songs from Legs Diamond, which includes the two you've heard today. I'm going to play right now. I'm going to play the Boy from Oz version of those songs.
And soon they'll all know my name. I'll have fortune and fame when I get my name in lights. It can happen overnight in these modern times. I'll sit on a flagpole, whatever the rage, just to get my picture on the front page.
Okay.
All right. And they play, and then I'm not, they're exactly the same. They're just sung by a different cast. Just to hear Hugh Jackman sing it. You know, I bring up Hugh Jackman for a number of reasons, honestly, just because I feel like
he won a Tony for that, didn't he?
He won a Tony for it. Yeah, he's great in it. The Show Boy from Oz isn't amazing. It's fine. It's a good, it's your standard biopic musical.
Yeah.
But Hugh Jackman is so incredible as Peter Allen. He's actually better than Peter Allen. That's how good a performance is. He's better than the actual performer. Because he's so good, I would love to see City Center do Legs Diamond for Encores with Hugh Jackman. You know? Wouldn't that be the most? No, I would love that. No. I would love that.
No,
oh, it's
you
a terrible
wouldn't.
Idea. It's a oh, of course I would. But I love shit. I love terrible musicals, and I love watching like camp. And this is what this musical is missing.
Patrick, I am just so upset with you right now.
Go ahead.
When you said like, oh, because I messaged you, I'm like, oh, please let me do Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I've got the perfect one for you.
Yes.
And I'm like, I have such a personal connection to Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson.
And that's why, no, yeah, great. You know what? Maybe I'll have you on and we'll do Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. But I like it when the person who I'm interviewing doesn't know the musical. Have you ever heard of this musical before?
Oh, for sure not. I have never heard of this musical.
And this musical features Harvey Fierstein, where we can plug your podcast. So I'm not a monster.
I mean,
all right.
No, I am well aware. It's just like, even like Harvey Fierstein, I feel like he, like, what was he thinking? This is what I was trying to get at before. Mm-hmm. What was Harvey Fierstein thinking when he agreed?
Harvey Fierstein.
Was he strapped for cash?
No, I don't know. He's coming off major hits. It's not like Harvey Fierstein was just like, oh, this is like his hit. He had a flop after flop after flop. No, this is coming off the back for him of him winning the Torchung trilogy and him doing La Caja Falls and winning the Tony for that. And his own personal acting career, he was like on every other major TV show from like 87 to
This is before
like
Hairspray, though, right?
Oh, this is way before Hairspray. Hairspray was 2004, 2005. So this is way before Hairspray. Yeah. But he was a guest star on so many TV shows, like Cheers, Laid Down on Frasier. But like he's on TV at this point. Like,
yeah, no, he's a star.
He's a star. He was doing Barbara Walter interviews. Like, he's a household name at this point, especially in the queer community. So,
yeah, no,
like,
I knew like this was after Lacage, and that's why I'm like, was he strapped for cash?
Ugh, I do not. I hope not. I think this was more of, I think he was friends with Peter Allen. And I think this is more of him going in and just being like a script doctor. Because he did script doctor a few musicals. So that would make sense. I'm going to surprise for next week. Next week's episode is another Harvey Fierstein musical. I'm going to try to make
amazing.
It. I might make it a month of just Harvey Fierstein terrible. Not terrible, because the one we're doing next week is one of my favorites. I'm just going through my list right now.
I feel like he agreed to this this musical because he thought it was funny. Like,
I think you know what it is. I think he heard the opening number and I think he said, "Oh, I've got it. This could work." Because he added all the comedy. I just feel like the comedy. It's just it goes back to. I think this would have worked if Peter Allen was more of a musical theater performer and not a cabaret performer. Because Harvey Fierstein had to go through during previews and rewrite the book, because one of the big things that was working was Peter Allen's acting. So he wrote in a bunch of monologues that Peter Allen can have, where he can look out to the audience and do crowd work.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
When crowd work is added into your musical, you have an issue, you know?
All right. So I need to like tell you a personal story here
go
now.
Ahead. Do it.
So circa 2011, I worked on a show called The Family, which was another gangster musical, about like loosely about the gang family, the Patriarca family in Rhode Island. And it was written and produced by the former Attorney General of Rhode Island, Arlene Violet.
Okay.
And like, this has reached that level of bad. I hope you check out The Family. And they had plans to go to Broadway. Like this movie, like the state of Rhode Island was pushing this musical so hard. And it is like really something amazing. It is the most precious thing. I worked tech for it, mm-hmm. but like I was just like, how did they put so much money into this? And they're like, oh, this is like, now you're showing me this show. I'm like, this is what the family could have been.
Yeah, I personally, I'm going to say something and I'm going to contradict it a second after I say it. So heads up for me being a hypocrite. I personally don't get the appeal of gangster musicals. They were very popular in the 50s and very popular in the late 40s. And I think it had to do with the success of Guys and Dolls, where they just kind of input gangsters, especially Cole Porter. Like, he, like, you know, that's a trope of it. That being said, I am currently working on a musical with a friend, and there are gangsters in the show. But I'm a hypocrite. That's fine. I know who I am. So yeah,
I think having like gangsters in a musical Kiss Me Kate situation is okay.
Yeah. Or like Anything like Goes, or like musical. Any other Cole Porter musical.
Yeah, but like at the same time, like having a musical straight up about gangsters gets old because it's very formulaic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Guys and Dolls is the only one that works coming to mind right now. There's probably another one I'm forgetting. That's
wait, you're saying things. Bullets Over Broadway doesn't work?
I am saying Bullets Over Broadway doesn't work. I think the movie's fine and the musical is okay. So so this is Legs Diamond. My question is, if you had the chance to go back in time and see the original production, would you go do it?
What else was on Broadway at the time? Give me some like...
Okay, hold on. I'll tell you right now. I'm going to go. There is a wonderful website called IBDB, International Broadway Database. I can go right now and I can search the season.
Because I'm interested what like this show was up against.
That opened that year or just like was that season?
Was that season.
Okay.
Like if I was buying a Broadway ticket the year I was born.
Yes. Let me see. There was that was a musical. Ain't Misbehavin'.
Okay, much better musical.
Yeah, let me see. Our Town. Nope, that's Legs Diamond. Of course, there we go. Not a lot of musicals. Jerome Robbins Broadway, which was I think was just a review of Jerome Robbins' famous musicals, kind of like The King of Broadway from a few seasons ago. And then we also have Barry Manilow, just singing. Oh, Star Mites. Star Mites is the other one. My mistake. Do you know Star Mites?
I do not know Star Mites.
Do you know Starlight Express?
I love Starlight Express.
It's a worse version of Starlight Express.
Wait, there was two musicals of The Little Engine That Could?
Well, Starlight Express is not The Little Engine That Could. Starlight Express is Cinderella. And Star Mites is a space opera.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was like Cinderella meets The Little Engine That Could.
No, I think it's just Cinderella in trains. All right.
So it sounds like Broadway was starved for musicals.
They were, and they decided that Peter Allen's Legs Diamond was the one to go. That's the podcast. That's the show. One last little note is that the Nylander organization lost so much money on Legs Diamond, and there was the Mark Hindler Theater had become this like theater that was just constantly producing flop after flop. It was on 51st and Broadway. Right across the street from where Wicked is. They ended up selling it to they sold it to the new Times Square Church Theater. So that's where the Times Square Church? Oh. That's where Legs Diamond originally opened, because they ended up selling the theater and now it's a church. That's how much money they lost.
But like, it sounds like they didn't put a lot of money into the show. Like, where'd that money go?
I don't.
Who are they paying?
To all the light bulbs. All the light bulbs that they used in the opening number.
Sounds like they didn't have sets or anything either.
Oh, the sets were awful. The sets really bad. They were just painted cardboard. Anyway, Aaron, thank you so much for being on this. Next time, I promise, I'll have you on and we can do... You know what? We'll do it. I'll have you on and we'll talk about Bloody Billy Andrew Jackson. How's that?
Yeah, I legit have my poster from the show on my wall.
Okay. Calm down, you. Calm down. All right. What's your Instagram and Twitter? Send some plugs out.
Yeah, sure. It's all at Aaron Weininger, W-E-I-N-I-N-G-E-R is how my last name. Check out my podcast, Yes, and I Am.
It's a great podcast.
You know, Patrick's been on a couple times. Real funny stuff. Check out the episode where he plays Stephen Sondheim.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
It's a real dark one. Great. Yeah. So thank you, Aaron. And thanks to everyone for listening. Next week will be another Harvey Fierstein musical. So look out for that. And I'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
If you love me, let me see your knockers. If you hate me, put your knockers away. I don't have to bother to clap. I don't have to hear applause. And give me what you're feeling as long as what I'm feeling is really yours. If you love me,